Let's open our Bibles to 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. For many years in the ministry, I wondered why ministers would say, "Let's open our Bibles." I thought that was really obvious, and so I resisted using that phrase for many years until I discovered that I and other human beings need to be told exactly what we're supposed to do. But nowadays, you also have to add, let's open our Bibles or flip on our phones to the text, which is 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Let us hear God's word again from 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And thus we end this reading of God's holy word. Would you bow with me, please, in prayer again? Sovereign Lord, we thank you that you've given to us your written word, which points us to the living word, Jesus Christ, and away from the errors of our adversary, Satan. Give us insight into this text, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see the truth that is before us. Father, build us up in the faith. Mold us and make us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As I was growing up, I had a number of very good teachers, especially in my elementary years. And they all seemed to come in a row, third through seventh grade, one great teacher after another, some of whom were single women in their older years. And one of them, Mrs. Miller, had these sayings that I still remember. One of them, as she observed me rushing through my math problems and making mistakes, one of those sayings was, "Haste makes waste." Not a new one, but true in my case. Another one that she used was, "Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear." And literally, that's kind of hard to do. Believe half of what you see. But anyway, she makes a point, or made a point rather, that applies to this text before us this evening. Do you believe every advertisement you hear? I know the answer to that is no. The advertisements, if you listen to them, which I try not to do, but if you listen to them for a while, they contradict each other. And you have to understand which ones are true or which one and which ones are false. Do you believe every news report you hear? Of course, the answer is no. And again, they contradict each other. But moving to the spiritual realm, do you believe every religious concept you hear? Do you believe every religious idea you hear? And of course you do not, because some of them are false. And this was a problem that the Apostle John saw in the first century that has existed since the beginning of God's revelation of truth and will continue to exist until the Lord Jesus returns to earth. And so we have to have some kind of means of determining what is true and what is false. You'll notice in this text of Scripture that John mentions two spirits. Two spirits. Now, the spirits are not exactly identical to the prophets or the teachers, although sometimes it seems that way in the text. The two spirits are identified in this text in two places, well, three actually. The Spirit of God is mentioned in verse 2, as opposed to the spirit of Antichrist in verse 3. Spirit of God in verse 2 and spirit of the Antichrist in verse 3. And then in verse 6, there's the spirit of truth as opposed to the spirit of error. The spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of error come from Satan. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of truth are one and the same, the Holy Spirit of God. The two spirits speak through the prophets and teachers. The evil spirits speak through the false prophets or false teachers, and God, the Holy Spirit, speaks through the true prophets and the true teachers. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great prophet. He speaks to us through the Apostle John here and urges us to discern the difference between the two spirits. So let's think about the two spirits together. First of all, the first division tells us to test the spirits. Secondly, you have victory over the evil spirits, John says. And thirdly, he tells us to know the origin of the teachers. First of all, test the spirits. In verse 1, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." There are false prophets. There were. There are false teachers. It's just a fact. They do exist. Though we do have goodwill and we don't want to be critical, we have to realize the truth. And John is saying to us, you can't trust everyone. And you say, well, I don't. I won't. I will never trust the false prophets. I will never trust the false teachers. Remember, these teachings are very deceptive. They're even very attractive. And we have to be careful, as John urges us. Let's think about what is a prophet. There are no prophets today. The prophets and apostles have passed on from the scene. They died out in the first century. So what is a prophet? You know, sometimes people say, well, he was such a great preacher, he's just like a prophet. Well, he may be like a prophet, but he's not a prophet because there aren't any more today. But even back then, what was a prophet? A prophet was not just a predictor. We read in Deuteronomy 18 how one way you could tell a false prophet was if his predictions did not come true. But a prophet was more than that. He was not only a foreteller, he was a foreteller of the truth of God. A prophet spoke under the inspiration of God's Spirit. So there are no more of those today. We read in Deuteronomy 18:18 where God said, "I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. He received the words from God. He gave them to the people. That was a prophet. There are no more today. But there are false teachers. Verse 1 says, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every teacher. The Spirit is leading the teacher. So be careful what you hear. And then in verses 2 and 3, he gives us a specific test. Test the spirits. Here's a specific test in verses 2 and 3. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, that is, Jesus coming in the flesh, is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Here's a specific test that John gives us. He was reacting to the heretics in the first century who said, all matter is evil. Why would God take upon himself a human body when matter is evil? He would not do such a thing. He would not contaminate himself in such a way. Would he? Of course not, they said. And so they denied the incarnation of Christ. They said, he only appeared to have a body, you see. That's one of the ways they explained it. You know as well as I, it's a sin not only to do the wrong thing, but to believe the wrong thing. It does matter what one believes. Regardless of what people think today, you cannot create your own truth. We hear such things today as, well, those are your facts. My facts are different. Well, wait a second. Facts are facts, and they belong to all of us. That's your truth. My truth is different. It can't be. There's only one truth. Truth is something that is revealed to us by God. We can either deny it or believe it, but we can't create our own truth. To not believe what God has revealed is rebellion against Him, which seems silly in our culture today. Really? We can't believe what we want to? You can believe what you want to, but if you don't believe what God revealed, you're in rebellion against Him. So they denied the incarnation, one of the truths that God reveals. The orthodox doctrine of the incarnation is revealed in our shorter catechism. It's revealed in Scripture, summarized in our shorter catechism. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. John says, oh, you don't believe that Jesus had a real body. Well, he starts out his letter by saying, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. John says, you don't believe he had a body? We touched it. We saw it with our own eyes. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, why would that be so important to believe in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he had a real body? Isn't it enough to believe he was deity? He is deity. He is God. Doesn't that mean he has power to save? Well, of course it does. But Hebrews 2:17 explains this better. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2:17. If Jesus did not have a body, he could not be our Savior. That's how important it is. These heretics against whom John was writing did not believe in his incarnation. So John says, reject them, reject their doctrine. Test the spirits, test the teachers by the orthodox apostolic doctrine. Now, as of this time John was writing, that doctrine had not been formulated in so many words. The scripture had not been canonized, and the doctrine was in the scripture that was to be put together as we have it in our Bibles today. And so it was later to be formulated, as it is in our catechism. Test the spirits, test the false teachers by the orthodox doctrine, John says. In John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us, as he said in John 6:63, and teaches us today. He teaches us today through his pastors, evangelists, and teachers. He taught in the first century through his own words, through the prophets and apostles, which we read earlier were the foundation of the church, he being the cornerstone. And so John is saying, test them by the orthodox apostolic doctrine. And remember the early New Testament church in Jerusalem. Acts 2:42 says of them, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts 2:42. An apostolic church is a true church of Jesus Christ that follows the doctrines he taught, the prophets taught, and the apostles taught. Now, fast forward to our day. The church began to formulate statements of faith as John was dealing with heresy here in his letter. There were, of course, other heresies that cropped up. And the church began to have meetings of the leaders of the church who made statements of doctrine about these heresies to combat them. And a number of orthodox confessions were written, the Apostles' Creed being one of them, several others. The Nicene Creed is in our hymnal, another one. There are several other beautiful such confessions. Our Westminster Confession of Faith and larger and shorter catechisms. Test the teaching by orthodox apostolic doctrine. The church today still goes by this doctrine, the true church. I know this is a day, an age when even Christians want to be so independent. There used to be a song, I guess it was back in the 70s, before most of you were born, that went like this. Me and Jesus, we got a good thing going. You know, me and Jesus. And that's even accentuated more in our day. You're an independent spirit. You're an independent agent. You know, just go over here and study your own Bible. I heard recently of a Sunday school class in which the members came in. They were sitting there. The teacher comes in and says, okay, now we're going to study the book of whatever, a New Testament book. And we're not going to use any commentaries. We're just going to read it and decide what we think about it. Now, what do you think comes out of that? Well, if they're mature Christians who've studied for many years, there may be something good come out of that. But if you and I are the standard, what do we have to go on? Just what's in ourselves. Don't ignore your history. Don't ignore the history of the Christian faith. You see, we are all one together, even those who went before us. So test the spirits. Secondly, and this point will be shorter, I promise. Secondly, you have victory over evil spirits. In verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You are from God. God gave you your first birth. God gave you your second birth. God adopted you into the family, his family. You are from God. You have overcome them, verse 4 says. How did they overcome the false teachers? By rejecting them, by rejecting their teaching, by remaining in the true church and continuing to follow the true doctrine, by continuing to confess the gospel. But how did they do this? How were they able to do this? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, John says. That's how they were able to do it. Who is in you? The Lord Jesus Christ lives in you, believers, by his Holy Spirit. Before Jesus ascended and went back to heaven, he said in John 14, 16, and 17, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." John 14, 16, and 17. Then Acts chapter 2 records how the Spirit came upon the church at Pentecost. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. To me, one of the most fascinating verses in the New Testament is Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He lives in us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates us, gives us new life, illuminates us, enables us to understand the Scriptures." But this doesn't happen automatically. How do we know the truth? How do you know when the bill, the dollar bill, or the $100 bill is counterfeit, and when it's not? You know the distinctive markings of the true thing, which means somebody has to have studied the real thing a great deal to know what it is. Use the means of grace. It takes hours and hours and years of hearing the Word and meditating on the Word for us to know the truth and be able to distinguish it from falsehood. The great preachers and teachers of the past and present can help us to do that. Jesus, our great prophet, teaches us the will of God for our salvation by his Word and Spirit. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, to give you victory over false teaching. Thirdly, John tells us to know the origin of the teacher. Where does this teacher come from? In verses 5 and 6, he says, "They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We, John says, are from God. That is, John and all the apostles. God, particularly Jesus himself, set apart these apostles and sent them forth. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. John says, we are from God. The false teachers speak ultimately from Satan. And there are a number of examples of false prophets and false teachers in the Old Testament, even. Remember the Lord speaking against those who speak peace, peace, where there is no peace. Remember the Lord saying through the prophet Jeremiah, "I didn't send these guys. They're preaching, they're prophesying, but they didn't come from me. They lead my people astray. They tell them lies. My sheep are scattered and have no shepherd." Here's where we have to be discerning. We don't want to be led astray, especially when it comes to serious things like our eternal destiny and our purpose for living. But human beings are drawn to certain things which our nature dictates. Micah 2:1 says, "Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil in their beds. When morning dawns, they perform it because it's in the power of their hand." Micah 2:1, why did you do it? Because I could. Because I could. Or how about this saying, "The heart wants what the heart wants." You know, that's said today like, that's a good thing. Follow your heart. It's not what Jeremiah said. It's deceitfully wicked, the human heart. And we have this attraction to sinful things. In fact, Romans 8, verse 7 says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law." Indeed, it cannot. Romans 8, 7. It cannot. Well, we'd like to think that people are neutral. People are pliable. People are neutral. But rather, we are attracted to sin. The unconverted person is under the dominion of sin. And though we Christians are not under the dominion of sin, of course, we're still attracted to it. We still have selfish desires. However, the Lord has given us new desires. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, "As the heart pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Psalm 42, 1 and 2. You didn't have that thirst at first. I didn't either. I'm not a coffee drinker. Are you? Most people are. The reason I noticed that is because through the years I've been to so many ministers' meetings in the morning looking for something to drink because the only thing available was coffee. And I'm told that for some things we have to acquire a taste for it. I never acquired it. And I would not have acquired a taste for God had he not given it to me. My soul thirsts for the living God. The Lord Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, but the goats don't hear it. My sheep hear my voice. So know the origin of the teacher. Is he from God or is he from Satan? John tells us there are false teachers. You've overcome them. Know their origin. Now, in closing, I ask you to go back with me before John wrote this to the scene of the transfiguration of Jesus. He's up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. He's transfigured before them. His face becomes brilliantly bright. His clothes were white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared with him. Then a bright cloud overshadowed them. And Jesus said in the Lord said in Matthew 17:5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Remember that? They saw his glory. They saw all this glory. And at the end of it, the Lord's voice says from heaven, hear ye him, in King James language. Through faithful preachers, our great prophet is still speaking. Hear ye him. And now these words from that great Methodist, Wesley. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful, broken hearts rejoice. The humble poor believe. Yes, he's still speaking. Are you listening? Let us pray. Everlasting God, we thank you for sending your Son, our great prophet, Jesus. We pray you will cause him to be heard over and over again throughout this world. Use your faithful teachers and preachers to give out his word until that great harvest comes in and your blood-bought church may spend eternity with you. Amen.